I think the thing about it is a lot of us give up, and the giving up is where you're not going to make anything. You're right. Mm-hmm. Winners never quit, but quitters never win.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Jacqueline Vasquez is a success life coach who helps people discover their passion and become their own boss. Focusing on positive ways to find joy in life, Jacqueline Vasquez teaches people to fall in love with their lives. She recently published her first book, Stand in Your Light, which equips people with the tools to step into their power.
All right, Jacqueline Vasquez, good to have you back. Okay, so Jacqueline, tell us about how you became a success life coach, because I know that your passion, as we chatted before, just a little before, is helping people find their passion. So tell us a little bit about that, your path to becoming a success coach.
Yes. So, you know, I was working full time, and then during the pandemic, you know how you're like, I show up to work, but it's like, I'm having such a good time. My friends are there. We were talking about shows, everything you're doing. So I was loving going to work for my friends. And when that was taken away, it was just me and the job. And then it was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. I don't like doing this. I'm not happy. And so I had to really figure out and get to a point where I understood what it was I wanted to do, what it was I was passionate about. And so I started meditating, saying affirmations, and I ended up at this conference where they were explaining coaching. And I was like, wow, that's something I've been doing, I think, my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so that is how it started. It really just started with it being presented to me as an opportunity to make money. And it was like, God, I've been really helping people find their passion, turn it into a business all my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I like how you start with the meditations and then the affirmations and then this was it a conference, a coaching conference?
It was a conference.
That you just happened to hear about?
Yeah, so it was actually Lisa Nichols. And so it was crazy because I go to a lot of, you know, people sign up for free stuff all the time. You don't necessarily show up.
It's right, just, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you'll remember, you don't remember. And so that Sunday before the conference, I kept thinking about Lisa Nichols. I couldn't get her off my mind.
You said Lisa Nichols? Who is
Lisa Nichols? And she's a speaker. She's a great speaker. Yeah, she's amazing. And so I went to her conference this for speaking because I was like, you know, maybe that's something I'll be interested in, trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people are doing when they're looking for their passion. They may be up late at night, looking through everything, signing up for every freaking they can. And so that's kind of where I was at. And so I ended up at this conference and, you know, Sean Smith, he's this amazing coach, and he was talking about coaching and what a coach is. I was like, I think I want to do that. That sounds like something I've been doing, like I said, all my life.
Yeah. And the reason why that sequence of events caught my attention, like first, like the meditation and then the affirmations and then this conference, I was just talking to someone yesterday about visualization and how that completely changed her life, where she would, every morning, she would, because she had an anxiety disorder prior to this. And so she began sitting down and just kind of visualizing her day, how she wanted her day to go. And I brought up like affirmations. And I think what happens is, it's not that you sit down and you visualize your day and then everything magically starts unfolding exactly as you visualized it. But I think it puts you in this energetic space where you just feel better and you start to notice opportunities and you start to overhear things. And I think, and that's, it sounds like that's what happened here. You're like clapping, like, yes, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I definitely believe in visualization. I believe, you know, I wake up every morning and I write 10 things I'm grateful for. Mm. And then I'll write down my 10 best outcomes for the day. Mm. It doesn't mean all of them are going to come,
Right.
But what does happen is 2, 3, sometimes 4 of them come true. And then it's like, oh my gosh, like, did I make that happen? Like, right. You start to realize your power.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I don't think we realize how powerful we are, and how important intention is, right? And just when you set the intention to have a good day and to look for ways to have a good day, that's when all the, what we call magic happens, right?
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. I love what you said. Set the intention.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what affirmations are as well. They're setting the intention for who you intend to become.
Mm-hmm. And so, and I noticed that you're a motivational speaker.
Yes.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit about that? Is that something that you discovered after your coaching or after you started coaching?
Yeah. So technically I was trying to, you know, get into speaking before I even knew about coaching, because that's why I signed up for Lisa Nichols' program.
Oh.
When I was younger, there is this amazing pastor that I looked up to and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be just like her. And I didn't realize at the time that, you know, because I love to speak, I've always been great at public speaking, but I just didn't realize at the time where it was going to take me, you know. And stories, things happen. I got pregnant at 21, so I got off the path, right? So to now be back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have never left, because this is exactly where I want to be.
And the speaking sounds like it comes naturally to you.
Does. Yes, it comes okay. naturally to me. And then I just love motivating people to be their best selves all day, every day, whether I'm in a crowd of people or whether I'm one-on-one with somebody. Yeah. I'm going to be asking you, what do you want to do? What makes your heart sing?
Right.
That's one of my favorite questions.
Okay. So yeah, I want to kind of talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to talk about leveraging our writing and becoming like experts in our fields. But how do we even begin to discover what our passions are? Because I know that there's a lot of people who are in jobs and careers that they feel emotionally drained, physically drained. They're nowhere near their passion. And we talked a little earlier about, this is why I asked you earlier, what was your passion when you were a kid? Because I think a lot of times those things that get us excited as we're kids are clues as to what we might find will ignite our fire as adults.
Yeah. 1,000% agree with that. Matter of fact, one of my motivational speeches, I talk about me being that 10-year-old little girl, having that fire, that desire, that I want to do this, I want to do that, you know. And it's crazy because when we're younger, you may have a dream to be Superwoman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kids, you know, I want to be Superman, Superwoman. Like, they all want to be somebody awesome, some type of superhero. Yeah. But you're right. There's an inkling in there. Mm-hmm. There is something in there that is telling you where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to tell people, I call it the four whats. Mm-hmm. What are you good at?
Mm-hmm.
What do you love to do?
Mm-hmm.
What does the world need? And what will make you money?
Hmm.
You take those four whats, and in the middle of it, you have your sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
What is the commonality that you're listing in all four of those categories?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I tell people. Yeah.
Give us those again, Jacqueline. So you said, what are you good at?
What are you good at?
Uh-huh.
Or like, what do you like to do?
Uh-huh.
What are you good at? What do you love to do? Because
mm-hmm.
not what do you, what do you love to do?
Mm-hmm.
What does the world need?
Mm-hmm.
And what will make you money?
That question, what does the world need? That's important. I don't think people even really think about that.
Right? Yes, because technically your passion, which leads to your purpose, is coming from a place of service.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are looking for money, 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 money. That's not what's going to bring you happiness. That's not
right.
what's going to bring you joy. What's going to bring you the happiness and the joy that people are searching for is how you can serve others, how you can serve the community around you, how you can serve the world around you, just how you can serve.
Yeah. And I think that the first question, like, what are you good at? I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. But I think they get stuck because they overlook what they're good at is usually something that comes so easily to them that they overlook it. right? Like you're just being, I can already tell you're a people person. And from what you were saying about you being a child, when you just kind of being like the life of the party and you like being around people, right? And this is why when your friends left your job, you felt, you know, but that just comes so naturally and so easily to you. That could be, you know, very easy to overlook as some a skill set that you have.
Exactly. And like you said, as we were talking before, I told you, oh yeah, girl, I was a party planner, party planner.
Yeah.
And little did, you know, how did that all draw into where I'm at right now? I like to create experiences. Mm. I like for people to walk away from me feeling like they have experienced something amazing. They're walking away with more than they came to me with.
Yeah.
And so little did I realize that party planner is what turned me into the coach, the motivational speaker, you know, I've been able to entertain the masses.
Right. I think that's so, I really like that. I'm glad you shared that because a lot of people would say, okay, well, so she was planning parties as a kid. So she, then does that mean she wants to be a professional party planner as an adult? Maybe. But what's underneath that is that you like to create experiences for people. And that's the passion. So sometimes you have to look at what it is that you enjoy doing and look underneath that. Like, why do you enjoy doing that? Right.
Exactly. Because it starts with, it could just start with what I love to do. Okay. I love to plan parties. But the more I got into planning parties, the more I realized that, you know, I like to create the experience, but it doesn't mean that I want to take their vision and turn it into something. Right. I realized it wasn't my passion. That wasn't my passion. And so it put me on a path to look for more, to, like you said, to go deeper.
Right, right. Okay, okay. So that, I love that you shared that. I think that's very enlightening. Okay, so Jacqueline, let's talk about writing because you are an author or you're a soon-to-be author.
Yeah. I'm an author. I published my first book.
But it's published. Okay. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
So Stand in Your Light, The Secret to Love, Happiness, and Joy. Mm-hmm. Now this book, so it started off, I'm laughing because it took me like 9 years to write my book. Like, oh, it took too long. But when I started writing, I was starting to write the book about just my past. Because I'm a firm believer that your mess is your message. And, you know, my friend and I have been talking recently and she's talking about how telling your story, you know, do you want someone who doesn't know you to tell your story, someone who knows you to tell your story, or do you want to be the one to tell your story? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about that, I'm like, yeah, I was trying to tell my story. I was trying to share with people my story. But I took it a step further because instead of complaining about all these terrible relationships I was in, mm-hmm. I wanted to tell people how to come out of that. I wanted to tell people how to overcome the adversities of life that we experience. And that just goes back to me being wanting to uplift others and things of that nature. And so the book took a drastic turn. And so I got to the point where every day, and this is, you know, excuse me for saying this, Ebony, I would literally sit on the toilet in the morning and I would write for 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, whatever
works. Every day, right? And then that's how I wrote my book. That is literally how I wrote my book. In my notes, well, actually, I was in Google Docs on my phone every morning, 10 to 15 minutes, just getting something out. Wow. And It was phenomenal, but I didn't publish it. I didn't do anything with it. And then the pandemic hit. And I was like, you know what, girl? Stop playing. You need to go on and publish it. Playing. And so I started looking it up, how to publish, first I was looking at publishers, and then I started looking into self-publishing. Mm-hmm. And self-publishing was phenomenal. They make it like pretty seamless these days for you to be able to get your book out there. You know, there's Lulu, you can do it through Amazon, KDP. Like there's so many amazing ways to self-publish. And so I literally self-published through Lulu first, then went through KDP. And you know, my book has been released, I feel like, a few times because I kept trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But that is how it came to light. I had to get it out there. I wanted to get out to people how you too could just find happiness, find love, find joy for life.
Okay. So you also you were a writer previous to that. You published articles and things online.
Yes, I published articles.
So you have quite a bit of experience with just publishing. So so Jacqueline, as an author and as a experience maker, motivational speaker, all the knowledge, how can someone who wants to be a writer and they don't necessarily even know exactly what they want to write, but let's say they have an idea of some things that they're good at, right? So how can they begin to take their knowledge and use that to write and start to make money?
Yes. So, I mean, people talk about starting with blogs. Blogs are cool. Blogs are fabulous. That is a great way to just get your writing experience out there and to just start writing. There's a lot of publications that are already existing that you can write for. You don't have to start your own blog. You can literally write for other publications. And then find the editor. Find the editor for whatever that publication is. I got published on Purpose Fairy. It's a smaller publication, but Purpose Fairy aligns with what I'm trying to say, the things I'm trying to get out there. And so find publications that you enjoy reading, figure out who the editor is, pitch an article, pitch whatever article idea you may have. You know, it can be anything from what I learned in my 30s. Right? Lessons from, my mom that she taught me. You know, it could be travel. It could be you just talking about your favorite places to go. You may think that everybody knows this. Everybody doesn't. You know, like I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. I can literally write articles on all the hikes I've been on in the San Francisco Bay Area. Pitch it to a travel magazine or even write the article. I can even put it on Pinterest. That thing may get pinned another 1,000 times because these places that I know in San Francisco, little hidden gem, somebody else may not know. And if they're coming to San Francisco to visit, they can find it in on Pinterest, which a lot of us do, right? When you're looking for places to go. I mean, that's what I like to do.
I
So
never
there's
even thought of Pinterest. That's interesting to
Yes.
Wow. You actually, so you just pin the article on your Pinterest? How do you do that?
So what you can do is say you write your article and it's on your blog, right?
Okay,
Oh,
yeah.
okay, now this article is on my blog and I've written it out. I can, or actually even with Google Docs, you can have Google Docs as an actual link now. So you can change your Google
Oh.
Docs to a link and attach it to your Pinterest, right? And
Oh.
so it's just, there's so many different ways to leverage it. So it can be a blog, it can be your Google Docs, and then you just create your pin. Get a nice little photo, go into Canva. Canva's free. Go into Canva, get yourself a photo, top 10 places to visit in San Francisco, hidden gems from a local. Somebody is going to pin that, pin it again. Pin it to a friend, and before you know it, your article is everywhere.
And I often hear people, well, I actually remember seeing this on Twitter a lot, like, who's going to want to read my writing? Like, no one's going to want to read this. How do you find, or is it even important to have an audience already, or how do you find an audience or stay encouraged when you feel like no one's even reading what you're writing?
How about this? I'll put it to you like this. Out of all the people in the world, we got billions of people on this earth, right? There is somebody who's gonna want to read your article, even if it's only 5 people, honey, okay? Somebody gonna want to read it, okay? It can be your auntie and them, okay? But somebody's gonna want to read it. I mean, and even when I published my first book, you know, go to your Facebook. Go to your Facebook, your Instagram, where are your friends at? Where are your people at? And just post it. A lot of people are like, oh, no one's going to support me. And I've done this in a reel recently. Everyone's watching. You don't think they're watching, but everybody's watching. You know, you may have nobody on your live. Let's say you go live, there's nobody. You come back the next week, there's 30 views. Who looked at my live, right? The thing about the internet, it is forever. It's forever. So no matter what, somebody's going to take a look at that. Somebody is going to be looking for whatever it is you're putting down.
Right, right. So the making money part, I think that's kind of, so that can be frustrating for writers because it's one thing to post on your blog, but then to send it out to a publication that's willing to pay can be daunting. Can you talk a little bit about how we can start to monetize?
Absolutely. So, you know, at the end of the day, yes, it can be daunting. Yes. Sometimes I get overwhelmed if, you know, I'm putting a whole bunch of stuff out there. But I will tell you this, keep doing it. If you just don't stop, mm-hmm. you may get a no, you may get a lot of no's, mm-hmm. but somebody gonna say yes. It's the law of averages. Mm-hmm. And you just don't stop. I think the thing about it is a lot of us give up, and the giving up is where you're not going to make anything. You're mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Winners never quit, but quitters never win, right? So at the end of the day, if you keep putting yourself out there and you can start saying as seen on, as seen in, for the ones who say yes, your publications and the more that you're seen, it can get repurposed into other publications. And so sometimes Ebony will come back and repurpose, you know, an article that they found somewhere else, or Psychology Today will come back and they'll see an article somewhere else and they'll go and post it on their own publication, right? Mm-hmm. If your articles are good, people are going to continue to come after you. And at the end, at the bottom of your article, a lot of the people will let you pitch yourself. Mm-hmm. Pitch whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's your coaching business or it could be pitching a product that you have. Make sure you bring them back to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can go on, like some of my articles I've written, I'll go on to say, you know, at the bottom of it, Jacqueline Vasquez can be seen and found, da 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 da, mm-hmm. right? With my mm-hmm. with my website or my Instagram, like I'll bring them back to me. And so that's where I make my money, is not so much in the article itself, but it's in the traffic the article produces. And that is how I get coaching clients. That is how I get, you know, people to, because I also do affirmation series and meditation series. I can write a whole article on affirmations and then say, you know, if you want your own personalized affirmation series, find me here. Mm-hmm. And so then that's where I'll make the profit. Mm-hmm. You know, and then plus, like I said, when you're saying as seen on ABC or as seen on wherever you're being, you know, pit, like wherever you're at, it brings that clout. You know, we all want the clout. Mm-hmm. And the clout brings the clients. The clout brings the money.
Mm-hmm. And so how, because it sounds like you already know your expertise. And so a lot of the articles that you write are geared toward this kind of encouraging people and the kind of like this, the spiritual type of like meditation and affirmations. And how can someone discover what, like their genre or discover their, the content, the subject matter or the topic on which they, I guess perhaps it's probably just writing anything and everything. I mean, at first, and then you kind of figure out, like you look at what you've written and, oh, I seem to be geared more toward this. Or is it yeah. also a matter of what's in demand?
So people do different things, right? Mm-hmm. You can go for what's in demand. That's an option. Mm-hmm. It's not one I recommend. And the reason for that being is this. Do what you love, honey. Mm-hmm. Something that no matter what you're doing, you write, you can sit down and write for 30 minutes. And you just tapping away at the keys and it's like flowing out of you like water.
Right.
You know, that's a one thing. Another thing that I recommend is write like you're talking to your friends. Mm-hmm. Who are you talking to? Mm-hmm. Write like you would be giving advice to a friend. Hey girl, so I think you should do this. And people will love that authentic you. They're going to prefer the authentic. They don't want the, so tip number two, right? Like they want authenticity, okay? Because people buy off of feeling.
Right.
If they're feeling you, they like you. They want to know, like, and trust you. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get that with you stating facts.
Right.
They're not going to get that with you trying to go with the status quo. Well, what's everybody else talking about?
Right, right.
They
right.
want you.
Yeah.
Period.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that makes, and I love how you said it's reading for people is an emotional experience, and yeah, they do want to connect, right? They do want to know, like, and trust you. That's great advice. Cause I think a lot of people, well, I mean, it can go either way, right? With writers, some writers are very factual, like, you know, intellectual type of writers. They give you all the statistics and the numbers and the, and then you have the writers who are on the complete other side of the spectrum, where it's very emotional, right? And it could be either way. They're like ranting with anger, or they're, you know, really involved in this sad story or whatever. So sometimes it just helps to find the balance between the two, where something is informational, yet at the same time is connecting, because you have that personal element in there where people can feel.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, you know, there are certain times to be factual, right? Yeah. Like, there's certain articles you're writing about. If you're writing about finance, you can't say, ooh, child. So, you know, this is what you need, right? Like, that person may not connect as well with that as if I'm giving you more of a self-help piece. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just a matter of finding out for yourself where you belong, what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, how do you always come up with ideas for how to write? I think this is where a lot of writers get stuck too, is they just, okay, what am I going to write? There's always that anxiety of, okay, I got this article out today. Well, now what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to write about? I don't have any ideas. Like, how do you keep the idea generator going?
Honestly, I keep notepads everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I write down constantly things I'm thinking about. Or a conversation I had with a friend that I was helping, and I really helped them. And I'm like, ooh, this will probably help a lot of other people. I'll write it down. Mm-hmm. I also read a lot of books. So I love to read. And it's weird because I was in this book club and this lady said, yeah, y'all, I'm reading like 3 books at a time. And I said, 3 books at a time? Who does that? I'm literally reading 3 books right now.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it. Like, I'm loving it. One's an Audible, so when I'm driving, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. And then 2 are regular books, and then I'll read them before bed. I'll read 1 chapter in one, and then another chapter in another, and then I drift off to sleep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm loving it. And so advice or things that I'm getting from the book that really resonated with me, that really made me feel something, I can turn it into an article. Mm-hmm. I can quote the book, right? So yeah, that's how.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to tell you that, Jacqueline, I used to read up to 5 books at a time. I don't know how I even did that. It was like in my 20s. Yeah. I would have 5 books going. Yeah. But now with Audible, I love Audible. I actually, that's how I consume most of my books, is Audible, because I have a long commute to and from work. So, and plus, as I age, my eyes just get, you know,
tired.
Yeah. So, but I think that, and you know what? That actually brings, are you going to do your book as an audio also?
Oh, it's an audio, honey. Yes, it is.
okay. I think that this is something that writers overlook, especially if you have your own blog. And I've kind of done this with some of the articles of mine, where I will audio record myself reading them. I think that's something that a lot of writers should keep in mind, because you do have people that would rather listen than actually read.
Right. Yeah. Come on now. The podcast scene is popping right now. Everybody got a podcast. Everybody's, you know what I mean? It's popping. Because people like to, you know, receive their information audio-wise. Mm-hmm. I could be washing dishes listening, right? Mm-hmm. I could be literally taking care of my kids listening. And I think that's why Clubhouse took off in such a way, because you didn't have to physically be present. I didn't have to show my face, but yet I can drop my gems and my jewels, tell you some information audio-wise while my kids are hollering in the background.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that actually might be a thing of the future. As we progress, just at different ways to consume writing. Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's great. Okay. So we have we're coming up with ideas. We are writing articles, we're posting them everywhere. Now, how do we deal with commentary that might not be very encouraging. Someone leaves a, you know, troll, or is that what they call it? No, trolls. Trolls.
They're trolls. Yes, they are.
Okay.
And, you know, at the end of the day, this is what I like to say. It may not be the best advice ever, but what other people are saying about me is none of my business.
Right.
And so
I agree.
So if I'm noticing the commentary going a little bad, I will not read the rest. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I haven't personally experienced it, so I can't say, because I am an emotional person, so it may break me down. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know what? No, I was sending out emails and I had a lady write me back, and she was saying a lot of profanity words to me. Uh-huh. And it was funny because what I did is I laughed at it and I said, this poor lady, she needs a hug, and deleted it.
Right. Yeah.
Some people are unhappy. If somebody is literally out there to try to say something to hurt you, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to take it personal, you know. Mm-hmm. Or you can think something like, oh, her mama didn't teach her manners, because her mom, you know, my mom used to say, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all, right? So just kind of reframe whatever is going on. Whatever that person may be going through is what they're going through, and it's nothing personal towards you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I have, I was talking to a friend about this, where, because I self-published a book back in like 2009. It was like a kid's book, a children's book. And there was a comment that I wasn't, you know, it wasn't very kind, but I didn't respond. I've always learned it just as an English student, especially in grad school, whenever your work is what they call workshopped, where other students read it and they give you commentary, you're not allowed to say anything. You just have to listen and take it in. So I've learned to just, whatever their opinion is their opinion. As you say, it's not personal, and I don't want to get tied up in some like back and forth, or I don't even want to give them the satisfaction of them thinking that they got to me. Like, she responded. That means I really, you know. And then I have friends that believe in like saying something. Like one friend says, well, I'll say thank you for your commentary, or thank you for your opinion, or, you know, and just keep it at that. But I don't think it's something that you should be investing a whole lot of your time in, because, as you know, as you say, some people will just, that's just how they are, right? Now, if you find that there is some truth, or you've noticed a pattern in the comments where people are saying the same thing, then perhaps you might want to take that into consideration. But, you know, yeah, it is what it is, right?
There's growth in the uncomfortable. I am a very sensitive friend. There's growth in the uncomfortable. So yeah, sometimes some people are right on the money. They're telling you something that's going to help you grow. And so listen to that. But if somebody's just being rude and nasty, you know, you ain't got to listen to that part. Like you said, don't invest too much energy into it.
Right. Now, how many, approximately how many hours or minutes a day do you spend writing? Do you still do the like 15 minutes in the morning?
I'm not doing that part anymore.
Okay.
But you know what? I do spend at least a good 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes just writing. I thoroughly enjoy writing. And I encourage you, everyone, you know, get your creative juices out there. And this is kind of something I wanted to give to you too. Have you heard of Haro? H-A-R-O?
Yeah, that's how I first started. Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Another great way to leverage yourself is to get on Haro. It's free. They send you 3 emails a day. And it's reporters looking for articles, looking for stories. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing I'll do. I'll go on there, kind of see if there's something on there for me. And I may spend 20, 30 minutes to kind of pitch an article, write something up, just seeing, you know, what's out there.
Yeah. And so for those that aren't familiar, it's I think Haro stands for Help a Reporter Out, right? So it's a free service. So you can go and you can pitch ideas, and others can use you as a resource, as an expert, or if you need an expert for your I did this for my podcast when I first started. I just pitched on Haro, and I had a lot of responses. So like the first maybe 20 guests on my podcast are all from Haro. It's wonderful. And then my website, you know, because they do it, they allow you to use it until your website reaches a certain Alexa rating. And then once your website reaches this Alexa rating, you can't use Haro. So I remember after, like, I had my first 20 guests, And then I pitched another idea or a query on Haro for expertise. They said, no, sorry, your website is now at this particular Alexa rating and you need to use some other service. So, but it's really good for, yeah, but it's good for if you're starting out and you just need something for your website. Thank you for bringing that up.
That's cool. The Alexa rating is like you got to a certain status, like you're doing well right now. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah, the Alexa rating is how much traffic your blog generates. I don't know if it's monthly or whatever it is, but yeah, that's so. It's a good sign, right? But it also is kind of heartbreaking. But he's like, oh, gosh, I can't use this resource. But yeah, that's definitely a great one. So do you have any other like tips as we close on just for writers and anything?
Yes.
Yeah.
Be authentic. Be mm-hmm. you. They want you. You're mm-hmm. a gift. You are somebody special. And whatever you're going to write down, whatever you're going to put out there, it is going to touch somebody. Mm. So just be authentic to you always and forever.
That's a great tip. That's very important, right? Jacqueline, tell us where we can find you.
Yes. So find me, please. Come follow me on Instagram at The Pursuit to Happy. I believe that we are all truly on the pursuit to happiness daily. I do a lot of funny videos, a lot of crazy stuff. And I just love inspiring and encouraging. And if I can inspire you and encourage you in any type of way possible, find me there. You know, the link in my bio, if you really want more information on finding your passion, I have a free checklist that is amazing. It will help you break down those four whats mm-hmm. and help you find that passion of yours so you can turn it into a profitable business and be your own boss, baby.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. This was a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad that you were able to make it, and you're a real trooper for starting out as you were driving.
I was like, I got to get on this call, baby. I had to come.
Jacqueline Vasquez. It was so much fun talking with her. Even like rewatching this episode, I just was laughing out loud through so many parts. She has a great personality and she's engaging. She is a people person. She's passionate about what she does. So I imagine she is a fabulous person to work with if you are in need of some guidance on not only leveraging your writing, but just having success in life, period, finding your passion, being the best version of yourself. So please visit her website and her social media and learn more about her services. And also in the meantime, visit zazel.com and sign up for my newsletter. You can follow me on social media. I'm at Twitter at Ebony Haywood, and I should say I'm on Twitter at Ebony Haywood, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Motivation to Write. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week when I talk to another fabulous guest. Bye-bye.